the last few weeks, Shabbos and Yontif, but it's something which really has bearing the entire year, and I think you'll find it very interesting because it has an impact on our sitter constantly and our personal hanhaga, and it's something which many people don't have a chance to even hear about or focus on, and we'll try to put that in very accessible terms today. We just want to start with a story. Rav Matzio Solomon writes in his Sefer on Chinuch, talking about the importance of the tefillos of a parent on behalf of a child, that he remembers as a member of the faculty in the yeshiva in Gateshead, there was a particular bachur in the yeshiva who, much to the surprise of all the rebbeim, was always able to get the best chavrusas in yeshiva. And the reason why it was such a surprise was because he wasn't the strongest guy, he wasn't the smartest guy, and nevertheless he was able to get paired up with very, very talented, very, very smart, fellow talmidim in the yeshiva. And that was interesting thing number one. The other interesting was somewhere in the middle of the semester, in the middle of the zman, it would fall apart, and he would lose his chavrusa, and he would have to start all over again the next month. And it was just strange that he had these waves of success and then challenges and then back and forth, and every semester, every zman. So one day, in the middle of the zman, around Hanukkah time, one of the rebbeim barged into the Rebbe room, the Rebbe lounge, where some of the rebbeim were sitting and talking, and he said, "I figured it out. I have the answer. I know why this is happening." So this was maybe 40 years ago, in the days when people communicated via payphone. They didn't have a cell phone. So if your parents wanted to call you in yeshiva, they had a few payphones in the hallway, in the lobby there, and that's how you got in touch with your kids. So he said, "I saw this guy, he was on the phone, and he says, 'Mom, you can stop davening for me at candlelighting. I have a chavrusa and it's working out just fine.'" And that was the ticket. That was the reason. The reason why he was able to get this chavrusa every zman was because his mother was pouring her heart out at Halakha's Neiros every Friday night. And as soon as he would tell her, "Okay, you don't have to daven for me anymore," so the success would disappear. And that was the key to his rise and fall. And the truth is that this notion of davening on behalf of children, specifically at candlelighting time, is something which dates back to the Gemara and maybe even in a certain sense to Har Sinai. If you look at source number one, Rabbeinu Bachai tells us the psukim that immediately precede Matan Torah, B'chodesh HaShlishi L'tzeis B'nei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Bo Vayom HaZeh Bo Midbar Sinai. Right at the beginning of Chodesh Sivan, they arrived in Midbar Sinai. V'Yisrael Merifidim V'Yavo Midbar Sinai V'Yachnu B'Midbar V'Yichan Shom Yisrael Neged Har. Famous pasuk, they camped around the mountain, Lashon Yachid, V'Yichan Shom Yisrael Neged Har. Around the mountain, Ishachad B'Levachad, in the singular structure. Moshe Allah Elokim V'Yikro Elav Hashem Min Har Lemor Kol Somer L'Veis Yaakov V'Sagid L'Vnei Yisrael. Hashem calls to Moshe and begins to tell him what he's going to instruct Klal Yisrael about, and the way that he does so is by telling Moshe Rabbeinu you have to speak to Beis Yaakov and you have to speak to Bnei Yisrael. So Rashi, already on the spot from Chazal, tells us that those are two different groups. Beis Yaakov and Bnei Yisrael refer to, on the one hand, the women, and on the other hand, the men. We refer to the men as Bnei Yisrael, but the women are Beis Yaakov, which shouldn't be such a surprise. That's why we call the girls' schools, Arayom Hazeh, the Beis Yaakov system. Because Beis Yaakov is a way to refer to the education of the women. So all the Mefarshim tried to explain what was unique about the communication with the females that warranted this special message. And so Rashi says that it has to be communicated in a different fashion. Sometimes you have to say things in a softer way, as opposed to maybe for the men, it kasha kegidin v'sagil of Israel. I want to focus on what Rabbeinu Bachai says in the commentary in the next paragraph on Pasuk Gimel. In the bolded text, after he discusses the important chelak that a woman has in her child's education, she's at home. She's the one who takes him to school and encourages him to go to learn, and she has a special relationship, a closer emotional connection with her child from the time he's a very young boy. Therefore, it is especially appropriate for a woman to daven for her children at the time that she lights candles,
that her children should be banim me'ir mator, that they should illuminate the world in, with Torah. He says, number one, when a person is doing a mitzvah, it's very important to keep in mind that when a person is doing a mitzvah, they have a unique ability to daven and be answered. There's a special koach of tefillah at that moment. The Sfarim tells us if a person is mezgaber and yitzhara, if they pass something that is also to look at and they're successful in diverting their eyes in a different direction, that is a tremendous moment, an ace ratzon, a person can ask for anything. Because when they arouse that that ratzon of the kiyum ha-mitzvos and being misgavin the yitzhara, so then they can ask for anything. So at the time of the performance of the mitzvah, such as hadlakas neiros, a woman has an opportunity to daven and in a very effective way. That's one connection. The other connection, the zchus ner Shabbos, dafka at the time of lighting Shabbos candles is a very powerful moment. He quotes from the Gemara in Shabbos, Chof Yom HaBeis, a person who is careful about lighting candles will have children who are Talmidei Chachamim, ki ner mitzvah v'torah or, so it's very appropriate to daven for children who will be me'irim as ha'olam, v'torah v'maisim tovim, right? We know there's songs, v'zakeni. You daven at that moment for your children to illuminate the world with Torah, as Torah illuminates and as the light of the Shabbos candles illuminate as well. So it seems like a beautiful practice for parents to daven for the children. It's a necessary practice. We're just talking to someone earlier. You have to daven even before your kids are born. You have to already be thinking about what your responsibility to prepare for what you can offer to raising your kids. I think the story is told with different gedolim. I heard it first. I think of Shamsul Fulhurst. Someone came to him, had a child 2-3 years old, and said, "At what age, Rebbe, do I have to start thinking about chinuch and about educating my children and finding the right schools for them?" And he said, "When do you have to start thinking about chinuch? 20 years ago, because the more that you perfect yourself and your own midos and your own Torah portfolio, that is really the degree to which you'll be able to communicate that to the next generation. If you start worrying about it once the kids are already a couple years old, it's too late. They've already learned a lot from you, whether you realize it or not." Okay, so this is, again, a pretty harmless but a beautiful practice to daven on behalf of a person, for a child, at the moment of Hadlakas Neiros. Why are we focusing on that? We have no women in the room. We have no mothers. You should definitely still daven for your kids. But why is that the focal point of the shir? So the reason is because, if you look at number two, something very interesting. Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, talks about our minog to add Avinu Malkeinu to the davening. During the Mitzvah, we add all kinds of additional tefillos. The Omrim Avinu Malkeinu Erev Boker. We add Avinu Malkeinu both at Shacharis and at Mincha. However, the Shulchan Aruch adds Milvad B'Shabbos. We do not say Avinu Malkeinu when it's Shabbos Shuvah, when it's Shabbos in the middle of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, or for that matter, when Shabbos falls out on, we'll talk about it when it coincides with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, so then it's also, things change. But I feel about Mincha Shal of Shabbos Shuvah, the Mishnah Berurah adds, even if it's Mincha of Erev Shabbos Shuvah, you still omit Avinu Malkeinu, even, again, we're prior to Shabbos, but on Shabbos itself, what is the reason why we leave it out? So Mishnah Berurah says in the next piece there, Yisuf Kut and Yud Gimel in Hilchos Yom Kippur, Shehu Sheilas Tzrochim, V'ein Shalom B'Shabbos. Very simple explanation. The reason why we leave out Avinu Malkeinu when it is Shabbos, even in the Aseres Meitshuvah, is because you don't ask for things. She'elah Shachem, asking for the things that you need, is not permitted on Shabbos. Ein Shalom B'Shabbos. Uvachol Omrim, but if it's the weekday, we do say it. Im Lo Shazman Katzer, unless there's some pressing need for as far as time is concerned. Especially when it comes to Yom Kippur, as we said a moment ago, even when it's Yom Kippur, if it coincides with Shabbos, we do not recite Avinu Malkeinu. That's a big chiddush. But because of this notion of Sheol Strachim, of asking for personal needs prohibited on Shabbos, we do not recite Avinu Malkeinu, with the exception of the last moment of Yom Kippur, Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, which we'll come back to talk about a little bit later. So that's fascinating. We're not allowed to ask for personal bakashas on Shabbos. That's what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. That, he says, is the basis for omitting Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos. And it's kind of strange, but at the same time, when we look at our siddur, we look at our machzor, there are many familiar examples of where certain tefillos are modified or left out altogether even though they may normally be said on Yantiv, but when Yantiv falls on Shabbos, we leave those things out. Can you think of a few? Maybe you know, just open up your machzor. You look at the gray boxes, right? The gray boxes that tell you to leave it out on Shabbos. So the Yud Gimel Midas Harachmim and the Ribono Shalom that are said right before the Torah is taken out, right? We don't say that on Shabbos. The Vilna Gaon didn't say it on Yantiv either. But even those things, Jacob, that are normally said on Yantiv, are omitted when Shabbos and Yantiv coincide. What else? In the Birchas Kohanim, right? In between the final words of the Kohanim and I should say actually when the Chazan is about to when he concludes the each line of Duchening before the Kohanim repeat after him for the final word of the line, so they sing a niggun. What's the point of singing a niggun? The reason is because it gives everyone in the shul a chance to recite the paragraph of Ribono Shel Olam. What's the reason why you say Ribono Shel Olam? Ribono Shel Olam is specifically for a person who had a bad dream, some sort of disturbing dream. The Gemara says that the way to try to prevent a disaster and try to prevent any negative implications of that dream is to recite a bracha, recite the special tefillah during duchening. Okay, that's Gemara and brachas. So we leave that out on Shabbos. We say it on Yantif, but when Yantif falls out together with Shabbos, so we have much quicker duchening, and there's no Ribono Shel Olam about the cholmas that are said. So here we have a bunch of examples of where our tefillos are modified in order to avoid personal bakashas on Shabbos specifically. And nevertheless, we opened up the shir with a very special skula going back to, Rabbeinu Avichai says it, it's based on the Gemara, and perhaps, you know, a reference already. We have shadows of it and echoes of it at Har Sinai. That we do make a tefila, a personal bakasha, even though it's Shabbos. There's that candle lighting time. After the woman has already lit candles, Shabbos has begun for her, and then she is making personal bakasha. How does this all fit together? And as we go, we'll see other examples that seem to be very much inconsistent with this principle of avoiding bakashas on Shabbos, as we saw in the Mishnah Berura, the reason for Avinu Malkeinu being left out. So let's at least try to trace a little more background. Start with number three, fascinating Gemara. Don't try this at home. Amar Rabbi Abba, Shabbos Hashem, Shavos Kashem. Rabbi Abba was quoted explaining the pasuk of Shabbos LaHashem. Shabbos is referred to as for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shavos Kashem, you should rest like HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. What does that mean? So we're used to saying Hashem stopped working on Shabbos, so we should stop working as well. This medrash is going to be a little more of a precise connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's rest. HaKadosh Baruch Hu shavas mimamar af at shavos mimamar. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He stopped working. He doesn't work. What did he do? How did he create the world? So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with asara mamarim. Asara mamarim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes 10 utterances starting from vayhi or at the beginning of creation and stretching over the course of the ensuing 6 days, including with Shabbos itself. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he rests on Shabbos, rests from speech. So our rest on Shabbos has to also manifest itself in some way regarding the way we talk. Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Barba, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, kad havachami li'ime mishtoye sagin, hava amar la'ime shuvsehi. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, when he was sitting around the table, he was at home with his mother for Shabbos. If his mother was talking too much on Shabbos, he would say to her, "Mom, you know, it's Shabbos," and that was his hint to her that she should stop talking so much. So that's, again, don't try that at home. If you're Shimon bar Yochai, then probably your mother is the mother of Shimon bar Yochai and is on a different wavelength. But there was a qualitative difference and a quantitative difference. We're more familiar with the qualitative. The quantitative difference, he said, just don't talk as much. Shabbos requires a rest from, we don't talk as much on Shabbos. Interesting, very surprising. But on the qualitative end, the Yushalmi adds another line, seemingly very connected, Tani also with both Tzrachav b'Shabbos. It's also for a person to be Toveya Tzrachav, to ask, to request of Hashem his Tzrachim, his needs on Shabbos, and that seems to be another dimension of altering the way we speak on Shabbos, in the way that Rav Shimon bar Yochai advocated limiting how much we speak on Shabbos. So, very interesting, very interesting. But again, it makes it more difficult to understand. Here is a clear statement in Chazal, in the Yerushalmi, that we need to change our tefillos on Shabbos so that they don't reflect Bakashas Tzrachim. If you think about other things we do on Shabbos, let me just grab a sitter for 1 second. Just about every shul that I've been to, following laning or in the middle of laning on Shabbos, recites a Misha Berach for those people who are sick, and we ask Hashem to provide refuah shleima. B'schar zakosh baruch hu yimalei rachamim aleihem lachlimam larposam lachzikam lachiosam yishalcham erifuah shleima min hashamayim chol verem chol gedehem b'sol shar chol Yisrael refuah sanefesh refuah saguf. And then we add words, Shabbos himilizok refuah krov lavo. So what does that mean? We have a whole long tefila asking for a quick and complete refuah, and then we conclude Shabbos hi milizok refuah krova lavo. So what does Shabbos hi milizok mean? So Shabbos hi milizok, meaning it is Shabbos, milizok, and we are, as a result, prevented from screaming out, crying out, calling out to Hashem. Za'aka is a form of tefillah. So Shabbos hi milizok. After a whole long litany of the things that we're asking for, we say, oh, but it's Shabbos. Shabbos, this Shabbos is correct. This is not the right time to talk about it. Hashra Bagolov is man kurdiv in a marmin. Everyone says amen. So what's going on over here? We're asking for refuah shleima. We're not asking for refuah shleima. Is this for real? So this term has its sources in a Gemara in Shabbos, number 4, where we're told how a person performs nicham avelim or a bikur cholim on Shabbos. And the truth is, if we start from the last line in bold, Amar b'chanina, b'koshi yitir l'rachem aveilem, l'vakir chol m'shabbos. B'koshi yitir, Chazal, with difficulty, permitted people to perform the mitzvah of bikur cholim and nicham aveilem on Shabbos. What do you mean, with difficulty they permitted? It's a mitzvah. These are two big mitzvahs. How would we avoid, how could we even suggest not doing these mitzvahs on Shabbos? So Rashi number 5, the last line of Rashi there, says, b'koshi yitir m'fnesha mitzta'er. This is a difficult thing to permit, bikur cholim, nicham aveilim, because you go visit someone, you see them in an unfortunate state, you see them in a moment of grief, so it's going to cause you, l'chora, to be mitzar. It brings pain and sadness to the one who's visiting. Makes sense, of course. You know, you're going to share in the person's situation and be empathetic, so you may feel a little bit of that tzar as well. Back in number 4, the second line, Tanur Rabbanan Hanichnas Lavaka Zachola Omer Shabbos Himilizok Refuah Krova Lavo. The way that we perform the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim has to be different on Shabbos. You don't come and say Refuah Shalem as you would during the week. You say Shabbos Himilizok. You say to your friend, you know, it's Shabbos and I can't make a tefillah on your behalf. Hopefully the refuah is going to come soon, but Shabbos Himilizok, I'm not permitted to make a tefillah. Reb Meir Omer Yichol Hisha Terachim. Reb Meir has a different spin on this. Maybe we'll come back to it. Shabbos itself has healing powers. But again, omitting the standard refuah shleima wishes. Refuah shleima tefillah. By the way, halacha l'maisa, if you go visit a sick person, whenever you do, again, big mitzvah, it says in the Gemara, it says in Shulchan Aruch, if you don't daven for the person while you're there, then you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. Part of the mitzvah is not just to visit them, bring them some candies and a balloon and a card, but while you're there, in addition to asking if there's anything you could do for them, that's what to be mevaker means, to check on them, to see if there's anything you can provide for them, you need to daven for them. That is part of the mitzvah, an integral part of the mitzvah, and that's necessary to fulfill the mitzvah. But here we see when it's on Shabbos, and you might have been brought to daven. You might have been, because of the pain of seeing your friend in that sorry state, l'maisa, Shabbos himilizok refuah krova, we have to refrain from too. So it's confusing why in our Misha Berach we make a whole tefillah and then we finish up by saying Shabbos himilizok, but I'm not supposed to be davening for you. So which one is it? You can daven or you can't daven. Which one is it? So once again, we have now the tension, this question of, can I ask for something on Shabbos, coming to a head in the tefillah itself as I'm davening for the chola. What's going on? And finally, another very familiar tefillah, we're going to say it, Mirz Hashem, this Shabbos, the paragraph of Shabbos Mevorchim, the Yiratzon that we say when we are Mevorach the Chodesh. A whole list of tefillos, and we only say this on Shabbos. Right? Very, very strange. Very, very strange. This seems to be entirely inconsistent with what we're saying. If you look at source number 6, very interesting, this tefillah actually comes from an entirely different context. Never in Chazal, or in later sources, do we find these words, these bakashos, in the context of Birchas HaChodesh. On the contrary, you see in the underlined part there, Rav Basa Tzulusei Amar Hachi. The Gemara has a whole list of personal supplications that different Amoraim would add, different Tanaim would add, at the end of their Shemona Esrei, right? When you say Elokai Netzor, we say Elokai Netzor as a standard text at the end of every Shemona Esrei, with plenty of personal bakashas that we recited every Shemona Esrei. But the Gemara, maybe before Elokai Netzor was standardized, recalls the personal tefillos that many different Baalei HaMesorah would offer. And here we find that Rav said this nusach, etc. So this tefillah wasn't a Shabbos Mevarchim tefillah at all. It was a personal tefillah that that he said, for sure during the week, maybe he left it out on Shabbos. Moreover, if you do a little research into the history of this tefillah, Yehi Ratzon does not appear in any Siddur until 1805. It was not incorporated. It's a tefillah that we're so familiar with, and someone told me this is their favorite tefillah. It was not incorporated into the Siddur until 1805. That was the earliest appearance of this tefillah in Siddurim. And to this day, there are many communities, such as the Breuer's community, the German communities, that don't say it at all. So you have to be a little bit, I don't want to say suspicious, but you have to at least ask, you know, why is it that this never made it into the standard text of the tefillahs until 1805? And maybe it's not such a surprise. Reb Chaim, Reb Mendel Zaks, the Chafetz Chaim's son-in-law, was a Rebbe in our yeshiva, said that this was not said in Kelm, where he came from. Reb Chaim Soloveitchik did not say this tefillah because of the Bakasha Strachim that was not appropriate. He only said the second paragraph, Misha Asanisam Lavaseinu. And the Aruch HaShulchan, you have to know the Aruch HaShulchan was one of the champions of Minhag Yisrael, even when it did not seem to easily jive with accepted halacha. Throughout his Sefer Aruch HaShulchan, works very hard to try to explain Minhagim, common practice. And on this one, he says, I don't understand. Number 8, Ach Masha Omri Yiratzon Mikodem Tmihani Heich Mutilis Baal B'Shabbos Tefil Chadasha Masha Enim Tovas Brachas El Tzul V'Natzvi. He says, how could it be that there's a popular minhag to recite the Ziratzon, to add bakashas on Shabbos, tefillos that were never part of the standard sitter for Parnasa and Shar Tzrachim? He said, Eich Mutar B'Shabbos. He says, whoever was matrit, Mikomakum, Mihitzel Lano Likbo, Tefillah Chadosh B'Shabbos, I don't know who came up with this. It doesn't make any sense. V'yash Cheli Avatline, Akashal Shansa Minhag, Sarachin Gal. He says, if it was up to me, I would be Mavatl Minhag. I would take it out of the sitter, I would tell everyone not to say this tefillah anymore, because it really should not be said on Shabbos altogether. So we have a whole list of tefillahs that we're used to saying on Shabbos that don't seem to have a reason why they're okay, and we have a prohibition to make bakashos atzrachim on Shabbos, and we need to start to put this all together to understand a little bit if there's a way to explain how our Siddur looks the way it does, how these minhagim found their ways into our common practice, and to guide us in the future when we have to make a similar halachic decisions based on these principles. So let's start with number 10 to get a little more of the background, what the basis of this Isser is. So we discussed earlier the Yerushalmi, also litbo tzrachu b'Shabbos, person can't ask for things on Shabbos, and that came in the same Chanamachta, in one breath, as the story with Shimon Bar Yochai and his mother of limiting speech on Shabbos. So the Rishonim in Masechah Shabbos connect that Yerushalmi with a pasuk in Yeshaya, source number 10, Shabbos Kuf Yud Gimel, pasuk in Yeshaya Nun Ches. We've quoted this a million times before. This is the pasuk in Navi that tells us how to honor Shabbos in ways we're familiar with, Kavod Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos, how we eat, conduct ourselves, how we prepare for Shabbos, reading the bold parts, this is the pasuk itself. Kibatim esos derechecha, mim tzochefs chavadavar davar. The definitions of kavod va'oneg in the Navi, in Yeshaya, are as follows. The first drasha, v'chibaritam yasos terachacha, shalei heimal bushcha shal Shabbos kum bushcha shachol. Person has to dress differently on Shabbos. Has to dress differently on Shabbos. Okay? That's a mitzvah. The Gemara goes on to include, shalei heiluchach shal Shabbos kiluch shachol. Part of appropriate honor for Shabbos is not to walk the same way we walk during the week. You have to walk more benachas on Shabbos. Unless I'm rushing to a minyan, I'm on my way to a mitzvah. If I'm just taking a stroll, there's a mitzvah to walk differently, walk more slowly and more benachas. We say that in the in Zemiris. Hiluchach tehei benachas oneg kar al Shabbos. Part of oneg, not just honoring the Shabbos, the oneg of Shabbos is to be more relaxed, to let the hustle and bustle and the grind of the weekday not creep its way into Shabbos, to be benachas. Go for a Shabbos walk. I don't usually get to go for a pleasant, slow stroll during the week. Shabbos is the day to do it. Came in this pasuk. The pasuk continues in the bold. Your pursuits are prohibited on Shabbos. Those pursuits that relate to L'shem Shemayim are okay. But your normal pursuits, you're dealing with business matters and other things that pertain to your weekdays, usher on Shabbos. Okay, so you shouldn't be talking about the stock market, shouldn't be reading the financial pages on Shabbos. That's prohibited by this Gemara. But then we have a third stage of the pasuk, v'daber davar. Your speech on Shabbos should not be the same as your speech on the weekdays. So that's very interesting, right? Because what is that adding over the previous part of the pasuk of refraining from your pursuits, your business matters, and so forth? Sounds like the dibur itself is problematic. In the sense that it has to be different. I dress differently on Shabbos. I walk differently on Shabbos. I speak differently on Shabbos. Quantitatively, like we saw before, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's mother. Qualitatively, in terms of avoiding Bakashas Rachav. That's one ramification of this pasuk. And therefore, one source for the notion of not asking for things in my tefillos on Shabbos. But again, it's just saying qualitatively, it can't be exactly the same. I had a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael who literally did not speak anything other than Torah and tefillah on Shabbos. Nothing other than Torah and Tefillah. That's a very, very high madriga. But if you go to the house for Shabbos, you know it's Shabbos. And it's something beautiful to see. It's something very inspiring. That person, people say your mind is where you are where your mind is. That was there's a lot of truth to that. I think that's what Rabbi Nachman said. Maybe Baal Shem Tov said that. But we also say your mind is where your mouth is, and you are where your mouth is. What you're talking about will impact on how you experience time and space and Shabbos in particular. It's not so simple. But there are other ramifications where simply to make a heker, the Aruch HaShulchan actually elsewhere says that that's the reason why we don't say Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos that falls out, Yom Kippur that falls out on Shabbos. Not simply because of the bakashos per se, but simply to make a heker, right? I'm making all kinds of other bakashos on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. We'll get to that in a second. But I leave out Avinu Malkeinu simply because I need to reflect in the Siddur, I need to reflect in my tefillos, a difference between Shabbos and the rest of the week. So, and the Rav pointed out also instances in which we adjust the machzer just to reflect the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. That's very interesting. That's one source for avoiding makashas on Shabbos. But there's an entirely different approach that comes from a Gemara in Brachos. We're going to move a little more quickly. In number 11, the Gemara asks in Brachos, why is it that there's a halacha that if I daven mincha already and I forgot that I daven mincha, and I start daven mincha again and I remember that I had already davened, I stop immediately wherever I'm up to in the middle of the bracha, end it. You're already with Yosef mincha, so don't continue mincha. But if I am davening on Shabbos, a weekday Shemoneh Esrei, and then I suddenly remember that it is Shabbos, I conclude the bracha that I was in the middle of and proceed with the Shabbos davening. So why is that so? Why shouldn't I just interrupt in the middle of my weekday davening? It's not weekday, it's Shabbos. So the answer is, because really, you were supposed to daven 19 brachas on Shabbos. But Chazal shortened the Shemoneh Esrei and made it only 7 brachas on Shabbos and Yantif, 9 on Rosh Hashanah, but it's shorter than the 19 of the weekday. The Gemara in Brachos Chaf Alvam, number 11, last line there, explains, Rabban Hud Lo Achachu Mishum Kavod Shabbos. Because of Kavod Shabbos, Chazal actually shortened the tefillos and made Shemoneh Esrei shorter for us in order not to create a tircha on Klal Yisrael on Shabbos. to give us a break. That's what it says. Now, it would be hard to explain this simply as, you know, they shorten the tefillah so we can go home earlier and eat, if after all, you know, the davening still is substantially longer on Shabbos. You have an entirely new Shemoneh Esrei, most of it, you didn't say, during the week. You have a longer Kriyas HaTorah, you have a longer Pesukah Zimra, right? So where exactly are they saving us the tircha on Shabbos, Mishum Kavah Shabbos? So in number 12, the Sefer HaManig explained, no, really what that means, that Chazal were not matriach us to have a long Shemoneh Esrei, not because it's shorter, but because we omit all of the tzrachim, the things that might get us frustrated or agitated, the things that are on our minds during the week, davening for panasa, davening for achola, things that might cause us to be mitzvah in our tefillah. Chazal said, leave that out so that your Shabbos is not impinged upon by those things that are more distracting, things that are more anxiety-inducing. Leave those things out. Leave out on Shabbos the parnasa and the cholim and everything else that's getting you frustrated, in order that you should maximize your owning Shabbos and cover Shabbos. So that could be the prohibition of avoiding she'el strachim, so that I don't think about the things that are going to get me upset. And it's not a surprise. My Rebbe pointed out, Rebbe Wilson pointed out, that these dinim are placed right in the middle of the halachos of owning Shabbos. I believe in Perek Lamed of Hilchos Shabbos. In the Rambam, you might have thought that these would find themselves in the Hilchos Tefillah for Shabbos. It's not purely a din in tefillah. It's really categorized as a din in onik Shabbos to minimize the tzara on Shabbos. We leave out tefillos for things that cause us tzara. Rav Salvechik gave a deeper explanation for this, maybe. But this concept of Shabbos himilizok and not asking for our personal needs on Shabbos is because, specifically, that Gemara about Choli, because Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. Shabbos is me'ein olam haba. And in olam haba, these tzaras won't exist. It'll all be ancient history. In Olam Haba, no Choli will exist, all the physical pain and tsar will cease. That's relevant to what I've definitely said this before, right? When the first page of Mishnah Berurah, you need to know this, when I was a bacher, one Friday night, I was at Rav Shachter's house for Friday night meal, and the Mechavrusa asked Rav Shachter, why is it that you open up a bencher and you have Al Naros Bavel, and you have Shir Malos? Everyone says Shir Malos, no one says Al Naros Bavel. What is that paragraph doing there? No one says it. So he said, they don't? People don't say Al Naros Bavel? Why not? So it comes as a surprise to most people. Al Naros Bavel is really the mechanism by which we remember the Shlomo writes, at every meal, the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, right? Our benching in general is very, very closely linked and consistently linked to remembering Eretz Yisrael, remembering Yerushalayim, remembering the Beis HaMikdash. We find many halachas that reflect mealtime being a moment for reflection on the absence of the Beis HaMikdash. So Al Naros Bavel, which is a dirge that was sung by the Levium after they were exiled to Bavel by Nebuchadnezzar, so that's how we introduce our benching. And Al Naros Bavel, a person should say that to remember the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. However, on Shabbos, it's too sad. Too sad to say that on Shabbos. So instead we say Shir HaMalos, which is a happier tune about the return to Eretz Yisrael, return to Yerushalayim. And Hayinu Kachomim, the Beskrav explains, all the tzaras in the past will be just like dreams. We'll hardly be able to recall them. It'll all just be a thing of a fading memory, because me'in olam haba, it's Shabbos, so we shouldn't be even thinking about tzaras. The practical nafkamina just is to reflect upon the fact that Al Naros Bavel is really what we're supposed to be saying every day of the week before benching. Shir HaMalos is the backup plan on Shabbos because it's too sad, but really, fundamentally, we should all be saying Al Naros Bavel. So it means it's worth reflecting a little bit on that paragraph, and maybe it shouldn't be a lost art in Klal Yisrael. Okay, so we've stacked all the chips of the Isser. We've given some of the background, whether it be from Daber Dover, speaking differently on Shabbos, or avoiding Tzar on Shabbos. Can we solve some of the mysteries here about Tfilos on Shabbos? So let's start with Rav Nevensal in source number 13, who directly addressed the Tfilah of women at Hadlachas Neros. You look at the bottom there, the end of the first page. He says it's mutter for women to daven for their children, to say tchinos at Hadlachas Neros, afshin levachis shrochem b'Shabbos, even though we're not normally supposed to be asking for things on Shabbos, achkana dayin lo Shabbos mamish, afshin asur basiyas malacha. So he says a technical answer. He says maybe the reason is because it's not really Shabbos yet. It's 18 minutes before Shabbos. True, it's asur b'malacha once she's makabel Shabbos, but that doesn't mean that all the dinim of Shabbos, specifically this one, fully kick in. Maybe because maybe that the avoiding the Onig Shabbos, avoiding the Tzar, I'm sorry, on Shabbos is not fully operative until Shabbos actually begins. Not clear why that should be, but perhaps the at least on a technical level, Chazal were not gozer. They did not prohibit it based on Dabar Davar. This aspect of Bakashas Trachim, Ben Hashmashos, or even this again, this is prior to Ben Hashmashos. This is before Shkia when she's lighting candles. Okay, so there is a Rajba in a Tshuva who seems to aser even Tosefis after Shabbos making Bakashas. Okay, but so it's not clear that this is satisfactory. Nevinsal's suggestion maybe is like a Tanai. We find this in Poskim and other contexts. Maybe you can make a Tanai in Kabbalah Shabbos. If there's one thing I need to do before Shabbos begins, can I be Makabel Shabbos on condition that it'll fully kick in for every respect other than that way in which I'm engaging in weekday actions? So meaning to say when a woman lights the candles, maybe she's Makabel Shabbos, but not vis-a-vis davening for my children. Okay, it's a chiddush. We try to avoid that mechanism, but again, it's technical and it doesn't always help us in situations such as when you're lighting, let's say you're lighting Yontif candles on a Motzi Shabbos, or lighting Shabbos candles on a Motzi Yontif, right? So when she's lighting the candles, she's davening. It's already a day when I'm not supposed to be making bakashas. Right, so it doesn't really get us out of the woods entirely. It doesn't really get us out of the woods entirely. But here is a very interesting point. A couple of years ago, I was talking to Rabbi Zero Cement, who's a Rosh Kol here in Chicago. I was discussing this in Tells. I was discussing this question with him. And he suggested, I think he writes this in one of his forum, that maybe the tefillah at the time of lighting is actually part of the mitzvah's hadlaka. Part of the mitzvah hadlaka. One of the reasons why this is specifically a mitzvah for women to do, again, if a man is at home or he's in an apartment with roommates and there is no woman of the house, so then they light the candles. A person should light, we can talk about specific parameters in their dorm rooms or apartments in the Heights before every Shabbos. But a woman, when she is around, has a special mitzvah before the husband because she was kavsa orishal olam, her participation in encouraging Adam to sin. The Chedah Deitz Hadas, this week's Parsha, is referred to as Kavsa Orishal Olam. She extinguished, albeit to a limited degree, but she extinguished Orishal Olam, the light of the world, the neshama, the everlasting life of man. Man was supposed to live forever before the Chedah Deitz Hadas. So she's davening to have children who will be Meiras HaOlam, who will return that light. So maybe the mitzvah of Alex Neros encompasses the tefillah of raising children with that illuminating quality, and therefore it's part of the mitzvah of Lux Nerus, and therefore deserves to be an exception. Interesting suggestion, but it also plays into another Yesodistic principle regarding this halacha. Look at number 14. Number 14, Rabbi Eliezer Gutmacher, and his Ha'aretz in the back of Masechet Shabbos, quotes from the Olos Sefraim. Olos Sefraim is a sefer written by the author of the Kli Yakar, the Pirshon Chumash. Kli Yakar was the Talmud of the Maharal and took over following the death of the Maharal as the Rav in Prague. And he discusses, based on a pasuk, a special school, which I'm sure many of you have heard of before, there is an auspicious moment of tefillah during a bris milah while the baby is crying. When the baby is crying, his tears go up to Hashem, and at that moment, any tefillos are also accepted and rise to Shemayim unhindered and unobstructed in any way, and it's a time to daven, ask for anything you want, anything you need, specifically at that moment when the baby is crying. So he asks, what do you do? And I'm sorry, Leslie Goodmacher doesn't ask, but the postman asks, what do you do about Shabbos? If this is such an important moment to daven, what do you do about Shabbos? I thought about this because my first two sons were born on Shabbos, and the bris was on Shabbos. And my wife had in her little anini book or sitter for women special tefillah that said when the mother gives over the baby to the bris, to the kvater to be brought into the shul for the bris, a special tefillah should be said. And so I discussed with the shechter, should this tefillah be said on Shabbos? It would seem that it's a bakasha and you shouldn't be saying it on Shabbos. And that was how he was mitzadeh. But many people do say this tefillah even when it falls out on Shabbos. What could be the justification for that? So if you look in Derech Sicha number 15, Chaim Kanievsky was asked, What do I do when it comes to Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? Can I ask for my own personal needs? It sounds like, you know, on the one hand, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, it's a yontif, it's similar to Shabbos, but you know, these are times during the year when, of course, we're asking for Hashem for all kinds of things in the year upcoming. So he said, originally I told people they should just be maharher. They should just have those tefillos in their head. We saw earlier that even though daber dover, speaking, has to be different on Shabbos, but here her is mutter. A person allowed to think about his business, even though he's not supposed to be talking about his business. So the poskim from Zalman and others say that, yes, thinking is permissible, and maybe that's where tefillos should be relegated to, and that would be an interesting heter based on what we said earlier, that if you understand the Isser of Bakashas is because it brings me to tsar, so maybe if I'm just thinking about it, thinking about the tefillah, it won't agitate me as much. It's an interesting approach. But then he says, I heard in the name of the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish made, was permitted making personal bakashas on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. What is the pshat in that? And is it any different when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos? So he said, well, maybe based on the Chazon Ish, what the Chazon Ish is saying is really that even if Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah coincide, it would still be permissible to make personal bakashos because im lo achshav imasai. There's a lashon in the Ran in Rosh Hashanah number 16 who discusses the fact that we eat, even though we leave out Avinu Malkeinu throughout Yom Kippur that falls on Shabbos, we do make one exception at Ne'ilah, as we mentioned earlier. You do say Avinu Malkeinu at Ne'ilah, even when Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos. Why? If we leave it out because it's Shabbos, why is Ne'ilah any different? The answer is because we're at crunch time. This is the last moment. There is no other opportunity during this tekuf of the Yom Narayim. If not Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur, when else are you going to pour out your heart with those tefillos? We make an exception when we are at a critical and auspicious moment, even if it flies in the face of the Isra of Sheol Shachem. So it could be we can extend that to other specific moments, such as at the bris. You only have one chance to daven when you send this baby out to the bris. So the bakashas shrachim should be permissible because it's a unique opportunity. You're not going to have any other chance to do it. Maybe should be true. Reb Chaim suggested for a woman davening at halakha's nearest time also because it's a unique time. She's not going to have this chance until next week or never if you're going to prohibit her from davening at this special time of halakha's nearest. If that's true, you know, we could extend that to pretty far. Should that even extend to a person davening in a special place? I'm in Eretz Yisrael for 2 days, and I'm at the Kotel on Shabbos. Can I make a personal bakasha because I'm not going to be here? I'm not going to be at Maras HaMachpelah after in a few hours from now, and I'm going back to America. I don't know when I'm going to return to Eretz Yisrael. Maybe a special time and a special place should be equated. And if we would go that far and take this kula of a special auspicious time, and this is also brought lagave brich shmei, and the things that we add prior to kriyas haTorah, perhaps for Yud Gimel Midos, perhaps for the Ribono Shel Olam, if the taking out of the Torah has a special power, that moment of tefillah, so then maybe I it's permissible to daven because if I don't daven now, I'm not going to be able to capitalize on that special koach. Maybe we could use that as an explanation for the Brichas HaChodesh, right? This is crunch time. It's Erev Rosh Chodesh, or it's close to Rosh Chodesh. This is the time to daven for it. That would be a little bit harder to extend to Mevorach HaChodesh. You know, if you just think about Yom Kippur Katam, right? There's a practice, widespread practice around Klal Yisrael to make special tefillos of tshuva and slichos on the day before Rosh Chodesh. It's considered an auspicious time. We find that from the Mekubalim, from Ramosh Cordovero. That's the notion of an Erev Yom Kippur being, Erev Rosh Chodesh being a day of powerful tefillah, learned from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai on Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, before ascending for the final 40 days, he came to announce that Klal Yisrael had been forgiven. So maybe there's a special time then on Erev Rosh Chodesh, but what do we do when Erev Rosh Chodesh is Shabbos? We push it back a day. We say Yom Kippur Kodesh, not even on Friday, we say it on Thursday, right? So some of the Berachas HaChodesh we could say on a different day as well. So that may not help us. The truth is, we mentioned Baruch Shmei. Rav Moshe Twersky said that Reb Chaim didn't say Baruch Shmei on Shabbos at all because there were bakashas in there. So he did not take this notion of unique times being a justification. And the Vilna Gaon, like we said, didn't say the Rabbanu Shel Olam on any occasion, not Yontif alone, even when it wasn't Shabbos. So, you know, that special moment of taking out the Torah might not be a sufficient justification. Let's talk about a couple other Haterim as we wind things down over here. Other important considerations that definitely have bearing on a heter for a woman to daven at Hadlakas Neros on Shabbos, or for any other tefillas we say over the course of Shabbos, and men as well, is the fact that the content of the tefillah is a ruchniyistik tefillah. The content is for the children to grow in Torah and mitzvos, not just asking for their parnasa, not just asking for their brios, but it's entirely spiritual. That's a major heter. Right, that's a major hetzer. That also would go back to the pasuk that we discussed in for the Gemara on Shabbos, Tav Kuf Yud Gimel, Mimtzo Cheftzecha V'Daver Davar, Chafatzecha Asurim Cheftzei Shamayim Mutarim. If it relates to your ruchnias, if it relates to Cheftzei Shamayim, then it's permissible to daven even in the middle of Shabbos itself, for your personal needs in your growth as a Ben Torah, or your children's growths in Torah and mitzvahs as well. Once we have that heter, so it shouldn't be a surprise that poskim also are more make when it comes to tzorchei rabim. When I'm not just davening for myself, I'm davening for all Chal Yisrael. Osa shalom v'mrama, we ask shalom aleinu v'akol Yisrael. Right, so that's a much more far-ranging address, and that would also be a heter. Could be it's not chafatzecha, perhaps it's not chafatzecha, or if it's not about daber daver, if the iser is about tsar on Shabbos or yantif, perhaps we can explain tzorchei rabim or tzorchei ruchnis as something which doesn't get me as upset, and it's not as personalized in the same way. Perhaps, and therefore there'd be more room for heter. Rav Shermbach says that this is the basis for our Misha Berach, right? Even after we've said Shabbos Yom Lezok, and we also daven for the Refuas and Avich for Zagov, but we always address our tefillos for Cholim as Besoch Shar Chol Yisrael. Besoch Shar Chol Yisrael. I'm not focusing only on one particular individual. Usually we understand the fact that it's opened up to all of the Cholim Chol Yisrael, so we don't single out any person in particular, but rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu should look at the zchuyos of the kahal as a whole, and not to scrutinize anyone who might not be zocha to the refuah. But another reason why we add in all of Sochar Chol Yisrael could be because this makes it a tefillah for all of the chol and klal Yisrael, and that is a heter. That is a heter. But again, we said one pshat could be because if it's not as personalized, not as individualized, it doesn't bother me as much. And Rav Moshe has a similar psak. And so we also find the Maramins says this, that it's when the tzar is befonav, that is the prohibition. If it's something more general, then it's okay. The Levush writes that asking for more is permissible. It's all, what's prohibited is asking for what you're lacking. Because again, that could be more of something which is more agitating for me. If a person loses his job and needs parnasa, he's going to be much more agitated through the tefillah, as opposed to or focusing on something which is bothersome and gives him tzar on Shabbos, as opposed to someone who's just looking for an increase in his salary. That could also be a teretz for the Berachas HaChodesh. In Mevarach HaChodesh, we're asking for more. We're asking for Chaim Shal Bracha, Chaim Shal Parnasa, Chaim Shal Chilat HaTzamos. We're not saying we're down in the dumps and we're sick and we need help Yeshua right now. We're asking for Tosefis in the month ahead. Other points that are relevant to the Misha Berach, where again also the Aruch HaShulchan, if you take a look at number 18, he says he can't understand. Lo yadati mi hitel lam. Who gave anyone the right to daven and say a Misha Berach for Cholim unless there's someone who's mamish facing a sakana right now? Then it's not okay. It's not okay. That's the words of Shulchan Aruch. So to try to address that as well, we have a very important heter. Just about 10 minutes left for Bosai. The heter that's found in Tosfos in Brachos, Daf Mem Chesam Beis, based on Yishami number 19, is as follows. Tosfos is already bothered by why it is that in our benching, and our benching obviously is pretty much the same as it is during the week, with the addition of Ritzei and Yalv Yevo on Yom Tovim, but the things we ask for in our benching seem to be tchinos, seem to be personal requests, right? Reinu, zunenu, parnasenu, v'chakaleinu, we're asking for parnasa, right? That's a major component certainly of the fourth bracha of the benching. So how could Chazal, when they authorize that fourth bracha, include so many bakashas knowing that it's going to be said on Shabbos as well? It's a bam kasha. So he quotes from the Yerushalmi, Tovas brachas kachu. Yerushalmi says that when Chazal introduced this prohibition of davening for personal needs, an exception that was built into the prohibition is anything that's incorporated into the standard text of a tefillah that's said all the time is not subject to this prohibition. If it's something like benching that we say every day, so then it's not limited by the Isser Bakasha. Why would that be? So it could be that if it's something I ask for every single day, then I don't get as worked up on about it if we take the tsar approach to the Isser Bakashas. Or it could be that for the sake of consistency, we find this in many areas of Chazal's nusach, of brachos, of tefillos, that when it's something to be said every day, we were comfortable instituting a standardized text, even if it doesn't fit into all the standard rules. Tefillas HaDerech is like that, the Shomei Tefillah. And could be that if you look at benching, which is said every single day, so Chazal left a consistent Tovas Bracha that may be recited even on Shabbos. This is very important because the Orzarua famously explains that that's why we say all the Harachmans. All the Harachmans at the end of benching, that's not part of benching. Chazal instituted four brachos, that's it. Ali Chasrein is the end of Birchas HaMazon, the mitzvah midoraisa, plus a Durabanan, fourth bracha of Birchas HaMazon, that's it. The Harachmans were added much later, and they're not part of benching. How do we ask for all the things we ask? Harachman, you find a Sein HaBachavot, how do we do that? Orzarua says, like what Tosa said based on the Yishami, once Harachman became such a widespread, almost universal practice throughout Klal Yisrael to be appended to benching, it becomes like Tovas Bracha Shani. Once it's said across the board universally, all Jews say the Harachmans, or almost all Jews say the Harachmans, that becomes Tovas Brachas and is no longer subject to the Isser of Tachinus Makashas. That's very interesting. Some poskim have extended this far beyond benching. Maybe they would extend it to Brachas HaKodesh also. That perhaps the first person to say Brachas HaKodesh, it was a mistake based on these tchinos like the Orach HaShulchan said. But once it became such a widespread practice, then it's like Tovas Brachas. It's so almost universally recited. Again, that would be a big stretch to apply to Brachas HaKodesh, but it could apply to the Mishnah Berachs. We say the Mishnah Berachs every day. That could be an explanation for that. It could be an explanation for things such as the tefillos of a woman. At the Hadlux Neros, once something becomes so standardized, it's implanted into our Tofus Brachas again. It's a Chiddush, and it's very difficult to know where to apply it. But that's what some poskim mention. Another word on the Mishnah Berach: there is a Gemara in Moed Katan, which perhaps would at least provide a basis for why it is that we announce the whole list of people who are sick in shul. More than the purpose of the tefillah, which we're really trying to avoid the tefillah, Shabbos Yom Lizok, but there is a notion, like Mara says in Moed Katan, when a person has saras and he's excommunicated from the community, he has to stay outside the city, so when anyone comes close to him, he has to call out Tamei Yikra, he has to call out Tamei. So the Pashup Shad is that people should stay away from him, he's Tamei, and he has saras, so they should avoid coming too close. But there's another explanation that's brought in from a brisa on that Gemara in Daf Hey Amud Aleph, it's source number 20. Tamei Yikra Tzarich Lodia Tzar LaRabim VaRabim Vakshim LaRachmim. When something is bothering you, when something's wrong, Parnasa or Refuah, a person's sick, you should share that with them. You shouldn't always keep personal issues quiet because you should ask other people to daven for you. You should have the schus of the tzibor. You should have the schus of the tefila of others. So maybe we announce those who are sick in order to encourage people to daven on their behalfs as a part of the Tamei Yikra. But again, it would still make it difficult to justify the tefillah that's ensconced in the Mishnah Berach nonetheless. Just want to finish with two quick points. Number one is to understand how this all translates into Yontif. The Bir Halacha writes, based on the Rambam, in Siman Tav Kuf Chav Tes, it's source number 21, that the Dinim of Kavod and Oneg apply to Yontif as well. Maybe not 100% equal, but the pasuk of L'kdosh Hashem Mechubad, which is that pasuk from Yeshaya that talks about Kavod V'Oneg, applies to Yontif as well. And that's why we dress differently on Yom Tov. It could be a person supposed to even dress nicer on Yom Tov than they do on Shabbos. But if that's the case, so we would imagine that the Isurim of Bakasha should be operative on Yom Tov as well. Nevertheless, we find that we're more permissive when it comes to Yom Tov. The Magen Avraham says that's the explanation for the Ribono Shel Olam and the Duchening and the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim and so on and so forth. Many other examples. People say Tashlich, right? Could be the reason why we don't say Tashlich on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. If there's an Isur Bakasha on Rosh Hashanah, most people, I think the Pashat Rav Mishabur brings is that we don't say Tashlich on Rosh Hashanah if it falls out on Shabbos because people are going to carry their Machzorim outside of the Eruv. So you say it on the second day of Rosh Hashanah. You say it during the Seder Mitzvah. But Rosh Hashanah itself, the implication is that you do say all those bakashas, right? So Yom Tov seems to be less chomer. Why should that be? Why should that be? So there's a fascinating suggestion from the Aderes. Aderes was a father-in-law of Rav Kook. He says, because if you're matur on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, because those are Yomei Din, and those are times that I'm supposed to be davening, truth is, the first mission Rosh Hashanah tells us that every one of the Shol Shagolim is also a Yom HaDin. On Sukkot, right, Shemini Atzeres, the other day, we said Tfilas Geshem, because that's the time for the judgment of rain for the entire year. And Shavuos is the judgment for Peiros HaIlan, and Pesach is the judgment on Tfu, and so forth. So if those days have an element of Din, could be they are ripe for a heter, or a more relaxed, a more permissive attitude towards bakashos on those days because, right, Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. When else do we say that other than Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Yemei HaDin. And that, you know, when we're looking for extra rachmanas. So maybe that's a pshat and why we're more relaxed in terms of the Isra Bakashos on Yom Tov. The Nitziv said that they used to recite the Ribono Shel Olam in Volozhin. I think even when Shabbos and Yom Tov coincided in Duchening, maybe that became the Tovas Brachas, based on what we said before. Not sure. That's a big chiddush. We can operate with this Mahalach of the Aderes that it's Yemei HaDin. The Shulah says that just like you're not supposed to sleep on Rosh Hashanah, he says, then you shouldn't sleep on any of the Shul Shagam because it's such a critical day that you don't want to be sleeping because that represents being oblivious to the dramatic and critical nature of the day. Another pshat could be from the Emes Yaakov, number 22. Pasuk says, Sheishas Yom Tavod Vasiso Kom Lachtecha. Rashi says on the Pasuk, in the Aseret Dibro, 6 days you shall work and do all of your malacha. That implies that when you get to the seventh day on Shabbos, it should be ki'ilu kom lachtecha suya. I shouldn't even be thinking about malacha on Shabbos because it's out of my mind. When Friday night, when the sun sets, my attitude should be absolute. Yes, here I should be oblivious to everything that's happening during the week and focus entirely on what Shabbos is supposed to be about. So that, perhaps, if that is the basis for the Isra Bakashas Rachamim, we don't find that notion of Yom Tov, on Yom Tov, to this mandate of Sheikom Malachtecha Suya, that I have to go through the whole week and then put it all behind me when Shabbos comes. That doesn't apply on Yom Tov. Maybe because Yom Tov can fall out on a Motzei Shabbos, Yom Tov can fall on a Sunday, on a Monday. You don't always have 6 days of work. You may not have any days of work leading up to the Yom Tov, right? So Yom Tov may not have that same mandate, at least as clearly and as strongly as Shabbos is articulated in the Aseret Dibros. And maybe that's the reason why Rabbi Yaakov explains we can be more makel for bakashas on Yom Tov because the mindset is not quite as demanding, I guess we could say, as it is on Shabbos. Just to conclude, on both sides, number 24, the Marsha on that Gemara in Shabbos that we quoted earlier has a very powerful line, right? Why is it that we have to speak differently to the Avelim and speak differently to the Cholim that we're visiting on Shabbos to avoid saying anything that would cause pain to myself or talking too much about the sorry state of the individual? So this is hinted at in our Mishnah Berurah. Truth is, Shabbos Yom Lezak Urfua Krova Lavo, that and Yecholi Hishet Arachim, the statement of the mayor, that a person has to have the attitude on Shabbos that you might think that by engaging in my weekday pursuits, right? If someone would tell you, I have to keep my store open, because if I don't keep my store open on Shabbos, I'm not going to be able to support myself. So obviously, we keep Shabbos. We believe that Hashem is the provider of my parnasa, and if he wants to give me a check, he can do it in 6 days, and he doesn't need me to work on the seventh day. I don't need to do him any favors and work on the seventh day in order to earn that paycheck, because he's the one who's writing the check, right? That's a fundamental belief in not working on Shabbos. So the same thing is even true when it comes to tefillos on behalf of a sick person, something which we would think would be entirely mitzvah and entirely ruchnius. Hashem says, refrain even from davening for things that would agitate you on Shabbos. And he says, trust me, if you relax yourself on Shabbos, put all of the other weekday pursuits out of your head, I'm telling you the power of Shabbos and being focused on what Shabbos behooves you to be focused on has as much of a healing power, even as much as tefillah on behalf of Choli would accomplish. Someone once said to Shabbos, Rabbi, I need to study for my test, because otherwise it's going to stir my owning Shabbos. I'm going to be so upset and so agitated. But I mean, you're thinking about it all Shabbos. If I don't study on Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah says, maybe you'll have more Siyata Shmaya on your test if you refrain from studying and you preserve the sanctity of Shabbos. Maybe that'll be a bigger schus for you than the hishtalus you would do that would distract you from Shabbos. So we have to sort of take a brand new approach and attitude that really emerges from this. It sounds like just an Isra Bakashas on Shabbos, but really is a framework for a hashkafa that if a person is able to totally plug into Shabbos and they call Malach Chasuya, and it's Me'in Olam Haba, there's no Tzaras, and I'm entirely focused on my relationship with Hashem, that could even have more effective implications on all the things I need to take care of as soon as the work week does start than if I have them on my mind over the course of Shabbos. Food for thought, Rabosai. Everyone should have a safe trip back to Washington Heights, wherever you're coming from. Looking forward to seeing everybody soon, Mirtz Hashem. Tentatively Sunday morning, Mirtz Hashem. Maybe we'll do it a little bit later for the West Coast guys. Tentatively 11 a.m. Bli Neder, but I'll send out a message to confirm. Hatzlacha Rabba. I'll talk to everybody soon.
Thank you, Rob.